We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
Driven to left. Arcia going back. Makes a leaping catch. He got a low leg break on the ball going back. Reached up and snagged it to end the inning. Right field and hit well. Hunter going back, ranging back, and makes the catch on a warning track. A great catch by Torrey Hunter in right.
Geez, you listen to that. You think that they've had a great start to the season. But they're 0-2. Okay, let's go with the numbers. 0-2. 15-0. 9. Right? 9 hits total in 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
15 runs allowed. 11 yesterday. And they've lost their first 2. But you know what? As you said, they could go 160-2.
Yeah. I was just trying to show people those couple highlights. That hasn't been all bad.
Something
good has come from it.
You want a
couple of outs?
You want to wager on that 160-2 thing you threw out there? Do you? I'll give you really good odds.
What kind of odds?
I'll give you 1,000,000-to-1 odds.
All right.
Wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. I only get a buck. How about a million? Oh, you don't have that kind of money. Never mind. We won't even go down that road. Let's go down this road. Well, your Wild are still in the playoffs. Nothing bad there. Anaheim, they lost, right?
Yeah.
Last night.
So Dallas, 4-0.
You know what? They're in coast mode.
They're tanking.
They are tanking. They don't want to face your Minnesota Wild. They want to be the second team in. They don't want to be the first team. No, wait. They want to be the first team, not the second team.
Well, if they wanted to be the first team in, then they would have won.
That's true. I'm all confused with that one. I'm not confused with this, though. Tied for the lead at Augusta National, the Masters. Charlie Hoffman and Justin Rose, both 5-under-67. This Charlie Hoffman was a great story today. First guy on the course. He was in the first group at Augusta National. Before the first group goes out, they have the ceremonial tee shots by Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, and Gary Player. Hoffman, before he tees off, goes and gets, he sent out a tweet saying that I got Jackson Arnie's autographs this morning. To follow those guys off tee was an honor. My question is, what about Gary Player? You didn't want Gary Player's autograph? How do you skip Gary Player? I mean, you're talking 3 of the best golfers in the history of the game. And Arnie and Jack, that's wonderful. But next time, get Player. Next year, if you get qualified here. If you don't know about much about this Charlie Hoffman, he's a heck of a story. He closed eagle, birdie, par, birdie. Best ever finish before today was a second round 69 in 2011. But eagle, birdie, par, birdie is not a bad way to close out a round of the Masters. He'll disappear in all likelihood by tomorrow. He'll maybe make the cut. But Justin Rose, just a few others we'll throw at you of names. You'd be Ernie Els. He's at 3-under through 10. Tiger went off not too long ago. And Mickelson, he's through 14. He's at 2-under. Jordan Spieth, a lot of people following him. 2-under through 5. He could actually put up a good number. The guy, though, that this is, to me, it's the best story of the day. Tom Watson shoots a 1-under 71. 65 years old. Shoots a 1-under 71. Sam Snead was 63 when he shot an even par 72 in 1976. 62 when he shot a 71 and 75. 61 when he went 72, 72, 71, 71 and tied for 20th back in 74. This 71 that Tom Watson shot at the age of 65, believed to be the best score ever for somebody age 65 or older. I mentioned Sam Snead because he's the closest in terms of being in your 60s to play like that. And Watson, by the way, playing in his 42nd Masters, made 4 birdies, just 3 bogeys in the first round, and it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible what he did. Now, we've got a lot going on today. Well, as a matter of fact, Sam, you're in there, right? Give a call because I just got a text. You make the little thing buzzed on me. Give Max a call in a couple of minutes. Because he's going to, as a matter of fact, call him now and see if he can come on with us now. We were going to surprise you and have Max Williams on at 3 o'clock, tight end, declared for the draft. Great hands. And he'd asked if he can go a little bit earlier. So let's get him on now. His number's
not on our run sheet here, though.
Well, then come in here, Sam, and I'll give it to you. That's not a problem. No, we're going to talk to Max about, he's one of the guys, and it seems like more and more guys are saying no to going to the NFL draft. They don't want to be part of it.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, you would.
I'd rather sit on a couch.
No, you wouldn't.
Do nothing.
You'd be sitting alone. At least you got some other people in the room.
I at least have family. They might be there.
Your family's not going to go.
Nah, probably not.
No, they don't want to be bothered. You know, they want to stay home.
Just the comfort of sitting in front of a large screen TV and not have cameras bugging you constantly as you're sitting at your candlelit table.
Well, I don't think it's the case with Max, but I wonder if Mariota maybe, and also, I mean, Jameis Winston is talking, has said it too, but Mariota and maybe all of them are worried about the Johnny Manziel thing. They don't want to be stuck sitting there. And sitting there. Because that's, it's embarrassing. You must have put down.
I wouldn't say it's the Johnny Manziel thing, since it's happened several times to a lot of different players.
But maybe, you know, they're a little nervous in Mariota's case that he might slide. Now this talk, he'll go number two overall. And as a matter of fact, we can talk, and we will talk, in our next segment. We got, Bob Harris from footballdiehards.com and, William Del Pilar from Fantasy Sports Report. These guys know as much about what's going on with fantasy football and fantasy football. What ties into that, of course, is players coming out in the draft. One of those players we have with us right now, Max Williams, formerly of the Gophers, soon to be of a very lucky team, is the way I put it, Max. You got to be excited about what's coming up over the next few weeks.
I really am. I'm getting excited and getting more and more anxious every day leading up to this draft.
Now, what are you doing now? Are you working out or are you just kicking back a little bit? What do you do between now and then?
Right now, it's a lot of waiting around now, lifting and running every day, just staying in good shape and getting as strong as I can before the draft. And after that, it's a lot of time spent with my family, knowing that come here spending too much time with them for a while.
Now, Max, you decided, we were just talking about this, you decided not to go to New York, and obviously you're going to be a first-round pick. What was your reasoning behind the decision?
You know, staying at home, it just gives me an opportunity to share that special moment with all my friends and family. We wouldn't be able to go out to the draft, and it makes it easier on my grandparents, and then with my dad's family out in Pittsburgh, all of them are able to come out and see the whole family too out in Minnesota. So for me, it's just all the support I've had through my college career and growing up, it just kind of a thank you to everyone so they can be there with me for my special moment.
Now, Max, when you told your mom, did she say, oh, no, that means I have to really clean the house, because you know there's going to be TV cameras there and make sure everything looks just perfect?
You know, at that point, I think my mom, my dad, me, and everyone in my family would be so kind of nervous and anxious to see what happens that I don't think she's really going to care if the house is clean or not.
I know. Max, what are you hearing? What are teams telling you? What's your agent telling you? Where are you hearing that you're going to go? I mean, you could be a top 15 pick.
I wouldn't say that. No, come on,
Max. We've seen you. Okay, show them the Iowa catch. Show them the jumping over, hurdling those two guys in the bowl game.
You know what? You guys know as much as I do. At this point, teams are all starting to sit down right now because it's all kind of ending, and they're setting up their draft boards. That they're really getting in depth now. So right now, as far as I know, because I know as much as you guys do, and I'll go into the draft same as you guys, just anxious to hear my name.
Now, are there any teams teams that you look at, and it'd be great if you'd identify them, but if you can, that'd be great, but that you look at and you say, you know what, that would be a great fit for me. How many teams are like that?
You know what, for me going into this draft, it's not about that. A team's going to draft me for a reason. So the way I look at it, if a team calls my name, they're picking up for a reason for me to be into their system. And for me, I'll be happy with anything. I'm just going into the draft open-minded, knowing that I'm living my dream and I get the opportunity of a lifetime. So,
now, Max, you know, when I look at it, and the reason the other guy's not around, it's a terrible thing, but the New England Patriots, you like that double tight end. On one side, you got Gronkowski. On the other side, it's open right now. How about Gronk and Max?
You know, that'd be fun. I mean, who wouldn't want to play with Tom Brady? Obviously, learning under Gronkowski, one of the best right now there is. But for me, like I said, it's any team I would be happy to play for.
Now, Max, the one thing I would say about that is, if you're going to party with Gronkowski, wait till after your rookie season. Don't do it going into your rookie season if you get drafted by him, because I'm not sure many guys can keep up with him.
you know, at this point in my life, not so much partying going on. I'm more focused on doing the right thing and trying to stay away from any kind of distraction.
You know what? You've had the right handle on that sort of thing. Now, when you, between now and then, you said that, you know, you're working out and you're getting yourself in shape. Are you, who's throwing to you, or you're not really doing a lot of, you're not catching a lot?
Mitch Leitner down to you. I'm going down on their days off between, so that practice, what, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays and stuff, I've been heading down to school, and Mitch has been helping me out, being my quarterback, still helping me when I'm running my routes.
Well, now, Max, is Mitch throwing the type of passes he threw, like that Iowa catch? Is he making you really work for him, or is he putting them right between the numbers?
He's getting perfect. Everyone knows how hard he works, and he wants to be perfect, and so that's what we all strive for. So every day, it's kind of back like when I was going to school. We treat it just kind of like a captain's practice. We're out there working and trying to be the best we can be.
Now, we're talking to Max Williams, obviously played for the Gophers this past year, going into the NFL draft. I think, Max, honestly, I mean, I've met you. You were with us a few times. I think you have a great future ahead of you because you have your head is on right, and nothing you're really going to see from an NFL team you're not going to know about because your dad played, what, 11 years in the NFL. You were about as prepared as anyone can be going into an NFL draft. Do you feel that way?
I mean, you only can be so prepared, I feel like, going into the draft. Yeah, you can do the workouts, you can study and do all the right things, but it's just taking that next step. So I think every rookie is going into the league kind of with an open mind, knowing that you're going to have to be humble and know that you're going to have guys that have been on teams for 5-10 years, knowing that they're the veterans, and at that point, I'm going to go in and I'm just going to try to learn. I'm going to go in, do everything I can, and listen a lot to the veterans and coaches and just try to be the best player I can become.
Now, Max, when you did all, I know you, a lot of teams have interviewed you. They did at the scouting combine. There were others that I'm sure did follow-ups. What's the weirdest question you got from one of these coaches or scouts?
Weirdest? See, I think I was lucky. I hear all about the horror stories about people getting weird questions. For me, a lot of my questions were, why are you coming out so young and stuff like that, because I think they always wanted to know that. So I didn't really have any of those really weird kind of stumpy kind of questions.
Now, Max, what you should have said, and I doubt you did because you're a little more humble than that, is you should have said, did you see the catch against Iowa? Did you see me hurdle those guys in the bowl game? But that's I'm guessing you didn't say that, though.
You know, that was probably the last thing I was going to say to a coach. And you guys know, I've talked to you guys enough. You got to be humble. I mean,
I know, and you are.
And we all do our best, and if you make plays, you make plays, but everyone's out there doing what we can.
Now, Max, I'm guessing nobody took a look at you and said, you know, we really think you'd make one hell of a guard, like you know, like your dad playing the interior line. No one said that, right? We're going to convert you.
I don't think anyone want me to play center or guard.
No, that, I'm sure that they.
That.
I'm sure they don't. Now, tell me the whole experience. Is it just been what you expected, or has it been beyond your expectations with the attention you've gotten from the combine and from teams?
Since the day I declared, it's all been kind of one whirlwind. Things kind of going on here and there, and preparing for the combine, then my pro day, and now all workouts, meetings, and I think in about, I'd say after next season, after my rookie season is where it all is going to kind of hit me, and I'm going to be able to look back and reflect on everything that's going on. But for now, for me, it's just kind of stay focused and don't really think about what's going on. Just kind of look at the task at hand and keep fighting for that draft.
Now, I'd be remiss, Max, if I didn't ask this question of you, you know, former Gopher Max Williams. Have the Vikings talked to you very much, or have they not had much contact with you? People want to know if you're staying home.
I'll give you one thing. I've met with Chiefs. I'll say that.
All right, well, that's fair that you've met with them. I'll tell you what, Max, that would be – you and Kyle Rudolph would not be a very – that'd be one heck of a tandem. Be the best tandem in football at tight end if you two guys hooked up, if he stays healthy.
I had the luxury of working out with Kyle out in California a few times with his trainer because they were my trainers at the combine. And Kyle Rudolph's a great guy. That is definitely one thing for sure.
Well, you know what? They get the 11th pick. Maybe it's not too soon to take a tight end. Hey, Max, we're pulling for you, and we'll certainly stay in touch. Thanks for joining us, and it's great hearing from you. And I'm sure wherever you wind up, you're gonna love it, and you're gonna have a great career. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, take care, Max Williams, Gopher tight end. As a matter of fact, when we get back, we're gonna be joined by Bob Harris from FootballDiehards.com and William Del Pilar from Fantasy Sports Report. We'll ask them what they, you know, what they think of Max Williams and how he'll fit in with some of the better tight ends. I think he's going to be a terrific tight end in the NFL. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. We are back. And I'm joined by Bob Harris from FootballDiehards.com, William Del Pilar from Fantasy Sports Report, and also Bob Rich from Fantasy Sports Report. Now, I met these guys, I was with these guys earlier today, because we actually, we did a little fantasy football show, a pilot for one, and I was impressed with what these guys are, the knowledge is off the charts. And I was just talking to Bob off the air, who, by the way, if the name is familiar, Sports Illustrated called Bob Harris. Bob, I think it's a great, the James Carville of fantasy sports.
Yes, because we're both bald and we talk loud and fast. I think that was the deal.
Well, also because you are a knowledgeable man who know
Might
your
be.
Topic.
Might be.
What you're talking about. Now, Bob, you also mentioned you know, Max Williams, I think he's going to be a great pick for somebody. And top 15 is but he'll definitely be a first-round pick.
How about somebody called the Steelers? Where you have a Heath Miller guy that is going to be phased out. They don't have any of the other athletic pass-catching kind of guy, a move kind of tight end that they could use. I think he'd be a great fit there and have heard people talk about that off the air a little bit.
Now, William, I think that Max is going to be a great NFL player because I kept referencing with him, if either of you have seen the catch he made against Iowa, the sideline catch, it was like an Odell Beckham Jr.'s end zone catch with one hand was the best catch I saw. Max's was right up there, certainly the best college catch. And then in a bowl game, he hurdled two guys. The first one, he hurdled like two guys. Then he hurdled another guy, hit him with his knee to take him down and out. I just think he's going to be a great pro.
Yeah, I think from the fantasy perspective, a lot of, you know, for fantasy owners, you don't see a lot of rookie tight ends come in. You know, guy goes to the right place and the right scheme where he's going to fit in. Otherwise, give him about a year to season, get up to speed. I mean, you look at guys like Jason Morrow's a guy we'll look at this year, you know, in that Jets offense after sitting around a year. I know there's mixed opinions on Eric Ebron, but I think, you know, the Lions expect more of him. I think this seems to be a two-year progression for the tight ends at least, and we'll see if Max can break that. I think if he goes to the right place, I just think he's a great fit for Pittsburgh. I think he could move right in there and start contributing. Not, they don't need him to be the main guy, right?
Yep.
They got Heath Miller in there. He can be the every-down guy, but bring a guy in that can do some receiving and not put too much pressure or too much onus on him to run the whole offense.
The thing with the tight ends also, the playbook has expanded so much. They have so much to learn, probably more so than even some of the receivers in terms of the blocking schemes, the routes they have to run. So it takes them a couple of years to learn the NFL game. And if they're lacking in size or build, to build that strength up. So it takes a little while to become a complete player. But if the skills are there in college, you add good character, they're going to be a popular option for some teams to look at.
Yeah. Now, let me ask both of you guys this about, it's Vikings related, Adrian Peterson related. He's going to play this year. We'll go with that assumption. I think it's a safe one. Does he go any higher if he winds up in Dallas as from a fantasy standpoint or if he stays with the Vikings? He's the top overall picker. Where do you move him?
Not with me. I mean, with me, I think he's going to be a great value either place. Wherever he is, I think I want a piece of that. A guy who's not coming off of rehab, not coming off of surgery, a full year of rest, a man-sized chip on his shoulder. This is a guy I'm kind of interested in having. We've seen what he does. He does interesting things. I think from a fantasy perspective, you're looking at a guy that if he stays in Minnesota, the value is going to be there for the value drafters. You don't want to overpay for a guy. In Dallas, he'll shoot up a bit. You're going to have to pay a little more for him. But, boy, I'd like to see him stay here. I think he could do great things in this offense. Think what he'd do for Teddy Bridgewater, the pressure he'd take off of him, get the deep passing game that Teddy already does well, right? He could already get pretty accurate deep passer. You bring in Mike Wallace. Charles Johnson maybe continues to develop. Maybe even Kyle Rudolph stays healthy. I think this offense could be really good with all the right pieces in place.
Now, William, he said a few years ago, AP, that he could run for 2,500 yards. If he goes to Dallas with that offensive line, I think that's a possibility.
I agree wholeheartedly. Bob says he gains value. He's my number one overall pick if he's in Dallas. And even in Minnesota, the fact that he came back from that ACL injury and had the season he had. When I was at Pro Football Weekly, we were talking about Adrian Peterson. I put down my typical formula, ACL injury, you drop him and all this. And the editor just said, he's freaking Adrian Peterson. And he proved me right. I mean, he proved me wrong. And I've become a believer. And I think he has that chip on his shoulder. And he's just a different human being when it comes to a player on the field. And I think he could eclipse 2,000 yards this coming year. And 2,500 yards, well, I don't
know.
But
that line.
Dallas, but you can't sit there and say no. And to me, he's the overall number one pick once his situation gets settled if he goes to Dallas.
Now, when you guys first, now, Bob, how long have you been involved with fantasy football?
Fantasy football, I've been playing since 1986, like you. Yeah, I mean, that's
that was
when
my
I started
first year.
Playing. I started a business in 1993 because, you know, we all sat around waiting for the USA Today to come out, and you got one injury report a week and all those things. So I've been doing this a long time, and watching the sport grow has been a wonderful thing. Now we've got the Fantasy Sports Report. We're working on. I mean, every year, you know, started doing a show on Sirius 5 years ago. Now we're on 6 days a week. It just keeps getting bigger every year. The daily game comes on board, puts a little money into the things, and it's just amazing how this thing has taken off.
Well, I remember this is back in the late 80s. Myself and another guy, actually, it was the guy that did my taxes. In his building, we put an antenna, and this is before the internet. People would call for updates. And it was, I mean, that's how into it. Now, what I want to ask you, because you do this year round, and, well, both of you do, William, you too. It's become a year round sport, right? Fantasy football and keeping track of these things.
You know, you want to credit the NFL for some of this, right? They have created a 365-day year reality show. The Super Bowl goes into the Pro Bowl, goes to the Pro Bowl, goes into the Combine, goes into free agency, goes into draft, goes into the draft, goes into OTAs, goes into mini camps. Boom, it's training camp. We're playing football. I mean, that's the genius of what they've done. And part of this, I think, has been fueled by fantasy owners who cannot get enough football. You can't give me enough football. You could put it, double it up and give it to me twice a day and I don't have enough.
Exactly. You know, I started my company in 1996. I started playing in 1990. I'm probably the young one out of the group anyway. I took a bit more of a business approach. I had the passion, but I saw the business with the internet. So I made sure we got out to the Senior Bowl, to the Combine. Now it's next to impossible to get credentialed. But I remember sitting down interviewing Carson Palmer one-on-one because all the rest of the beat reporters, we got better things to do. And that started, we didn't start the ball rolling. We were part of that ball starting the rolling in terms of getting fantasy and NFL information kind of intermixed because they were one and the same. Fantasy geeks wanted that information, and the fans who started these companies trailblazed it, as we talked about on the show. We were the ones with the analytics. We were the ones who sat there and said, hey, you a running back 300-plus carries a year, after years, it's going to start to wear down. GMs in the NFL now admit, yeah, we kind of took a look at some of this data, some of these stats, and there are people in our industry start out with the baseball side, but who now work for professional teams. And I knew that some of the big players at about the 10-year mark would realize there's money in this. So from the business side, you know, I primed my company in a position to sell at that point.
Basically, you're talking about in sabermetrics in baseball, but there are the metrics of football.
Exactly.
Now, wasn't it you that was didn't you break down C.J. Spiller on grass and on these numbers are incredible.
Yes, it was something like 4.8 yards per carry indoors and like 5.9 yards per carry indoor, 4.8 outdoors. And
either way, 12 it's not
games.
Bad.
12 games he's going to play in inside dome. So those are the type of stats need to gain that edge. In fact, C.J. Spiller on the surface, when we were talking about players to avoid, I'm like, yeah, I'll take C.J. Spiller. As I'm doing my research, digging a little bit deeper, I'm like, holy mackerel, he's a guy I actually want to target because of this data if he can stay healthy. So that's what we do. We break down these stats. We're analytical, and we present them out, and fans enjoy it, and they pick it up. And more importantly, for the NFL, you get a better and more informed fan who loves every single game, not just their favorite team.
Now, let me ask both of you this question. Talking to Bob Harris from FootballDiehards.com, William Del Pilar from Fantasy Sports Report, Bob Rich with us also. We're going to talk to him a bit in the next segment. But are you like Mel Kiper Jr. when he blows a early pick? He says they're going to take them, and he takes someone else. Do you guys get really frustrated when a guy you have touted as being a great pick, not because of injury, but just doesn't pan out?
Yeah, I mean, it happens to all of us. It happens every year. You just sit there and you own it, and you're as miserable. I mean, that's the fun thing about fantasy is you're dealing with an audience that's as knowledgeable as you. We're selling ice to Eskimos. They know everything. You just got to put it in a concise package and give it to them, but they feel the same pain you feel. I feel the same pain they feel. We are one, and we all get it. Look, you can't hit on everyone. Not everything's a home run, but you do. You tend to forget those, and you remember your big successes. That's what you try to do.
What's the biggest whiff you think you had?
I'll go last year. I was all in on Robert Griffin. I mean, you know, I just thought, man, look at what the Washington Redskins have done. They fired Mike Shanahan. They brought in a coach they think is going to fix him. They wanted, you know, Daniel Snyder wanted the rookie RG3 again. So he went out, got DeSean Jackson, paid all kinds of money, went to great lengths to do that. It turns out the RG3 of his rookie year it was like a fleeting thing. It's not going to come back. We're never going to see it again. We should all get used to it.
We're going to take a quick break, come back with Bob Harris from footballdiehards.com, William Del Pilar from Fantasy Sports Report, Bob Rich from Fantasy Sports Report, and I want to talk to you about the number of people that are involved in fantasy football, and also to give them now, people can get out paper and pencil, or if they want to type it into their phones, give them the names now that they should be looking for. That'll be good sleeper picks to tuck away. Everybody's going to, know something when the draft gets closer, but it's not a bad idea to have a pretty good idea of what's going to be happening now. Because football, you're right, it has become a 12-month sport. We'll be right back. We're back. Still joined by Bob Harris from footballdiehards.com, William Del Pilar, and Bob Rich from Fantasy Sports Report. Now, during the break, I was talking to these guys about, do you do any fantasy golf, or do you do like a Masters pool? And Bob had mentioned that you certainly follow golf, but I had no idea there's an MMA fantasy sport that you could actually.
Hell yeah.
Explain how that one works.
You go in and they have a ticket and they form them into teams. They assign dollar values to them and you can assemble a team based on, a salary cap. It's just like any of the daily games. And if you follow MMA, it does what every fantasy sport does for everyone who's into that sport. It gives you a personal connection to an event or a game or a contest and makes you feel a little closer to the players. That's half the fun of it. And I dig the MMA, so. Well, I do it up.
All right, well, William, you've got, football, baseball, hockey, basketball, NASCAR, golf, now MMA. What am I missing of fantasy sports that you could do? Does the WNBA have one, or is it college football? Colleges don't really have many of them, do they, or do they?
There actually is college, but the problem is it's so vast with the conferences. There's various ways to play it. Some sites have sprouted up over the years, but nothing's really stuck. So it's not something everybody goes, hey, we're waiting for the college draft this year. I mean, at times you're going to have a draft. Consider ACC teams or Big Ten teams and split up like that. So it varies.
Now, here we run an ad. FanDuel has an ad on. I want to fire the ticket. I've never done one of these daily fantasy sports sites like FanDuel. Maybe I'm most used to the tradition. Am I stupid for not getting involved in these? These type of things.
No, not stupid. It's a different thing, and I think the thing that I like about is. You've been playing as long as I have. We both get into the season-long game in 1986. Yep. We know the drawbacks of season-long, You have a lousy draft. The one guy gets hurt. You don't hit the waiver wire right 1 week. Daily fixes all the problems that you have within season. I'm still playing season long. I'm not giving up on that, but I'm going to add the daily and play a bunch of daily because it cures all the ails of season long and vice versa. It's a great combination. Do them both, Bob.
The good thing about daily fantasy, as I told you earlier, about traditional people, where I like playing the season long games, there's actually games where you draft, just as it's on draft day, every week, and every week you draft a new team versus the typical daily where you go there and just pick your team based off of salary cap. You do that daily. But it's fun. You get the excitement of having a draft day every week, and with football, it's still casual because of the way football is built. You don't have the grind of the other sports.
But with you could do every day with baseball if you want throughout the season.
Correct.
My God, you could really get absorbed into this. Now, how expensive can it be? Is there how much money up front do you have to put for these? Or is that your choice?
Well, you can actually. Games. There's definitely free games, and there's also dollars all the way up to the sky's the limit kind of games.
So if you do a free game, can you win money, though?
At times you can, yes.
You don't win a million bucks.
It depends on the website.
I'll tell you, I was the MC at FanDuel's event in Vegas, their championship event. I was on a stage handing...
You are huge, James Carville.
I was standing on stage. I handed out $7 million. The top three winners, that's $4.5 million. A $2 million winner, a $1 million winner, and a half million dollar winner, or $1.5 and a half million dollar winner, all got in on $2.
Seriously.
So $2 million on $2, I believe that's a 1 million times return on investment. I'm not a businessman, but that's good.
Now, the downside is this. You really have to be an informed player. It, you don't want to sit there and go and play casually. That's why you have the free games. You learn how to play. Yep. You learn how to not lose money because it can become very absorbing. But they do have those options there. And the smart people will sit there and play the free games, learn the process, learn how it works,
so it's like
and they'll get better.
It's like playing a nickel slot. Yeah.
Right.
Funny story, though. One of the guys that was at the FanDuel in the championship, won a qualifier, didn't know what fantasy football was, heard a FanDuel ad on the radio, went home. He's a New England Patriots guy. He filled his lineup full of Patriots on a $2 buy-in, and he made the grand final event. He didn't win in that event, but over the course of time, as the season wore on, he played every week. He got better at it. Now he understands it, but that's how he got into it.
You know what's interesting about that? Because I've thought about some of these things, and I wonder, what if you just took everybody from one team? If you have a team that is going to be explosive in the game, you could do very well in a daily thing, right?
You could. I mean, odds are against you in that, but he did it, and he made the final thing. I mean, he made the championship contest. So I think one of the things about daily is it does open up. Look, if you want to win and you want to be successful consistently, you need to understand the game. You need to understand the rules. You need to know what kind of contest you're in, whether it's the GPP or the head-on-head or the tournament play. I mean, there's various ways to play. Each one has its own strategy. You have to understand it and get in on it, but boy, once you get drawn in, it doesn't take long to get up to speed. Think about when you first started playing fantasy. Yeah. How long did it take before you were just sucked in? Same thing with the daily.
What makes it fun, and according to what you said, you pick all players from one team, but the neat part that most people do, what I did is there'd be a couple players that, well, I like these guys too, well, I just have another team. I'd have those players in, have the other players in this one, so it absorbs you, it takes you in, and next thing you hear, there's the missus. Where the hell are you?
Well, at least you know you're not out gallivanting.
That is true.
Just spending the money.
Yeah. Now, Bobby, because obviously you have, talking to Bob Rich now from Fantasy Sports Report, you obviously have a lot of faith that nationally and internationally people have interest in fantasy football.
It's just a market that continues to grow. I did the first fantasy football show. Jeez, Bob, you did that with me, 10, 12 years ago?
It was more than that, I think.
Yeah, with Jimmy and all the guys in charge here.
And Bob, people who know that he's been on, Jim Rich is Bob. He's your uncle, right?
Yes, he's my uncle, yes. And the nice thing is I just started following it, and I was a fan and couldn't find anything on TV that really satisfied the need. And we did this with you and everyone else here in the Minneapolis market. We grew. We went to national. And we just came back this year. We just got done doing the pilot with you and this. And what we're doing now is really reaching the DFS and the seasonal.
And that's the daily fantasy sports.
Yeah, daily fantasy sports.
I know you like
DFS.
To throw around these.
Throw the acronyms around. And the nice thing about it is that with the show that we're coming up with this year is that we're going to be an industry show. We represent the entire industry from the smallest websites to the biggest billion-dollar companies out there, bringing the most complete information that you can't find anywhere else.
You got a guy who gave away $7 million.
Yeah.
Hopefully they gave you like the usual 15% fee.
But here's the thing. Right around 1998, right around 2000, when we started getting demographics and statistical data on the players, we were happy. There's 1 million, 2 million, 3 million. Today there are 41 million people playing fantasy football and daily fantasy, and it is still growing. And that's what makes it fun. And not only that, the female base has grown. Not by much, but there's some life there as well.
Yeah, and then the whole thing's like, I just actually was at the conference, and there's now doing fantasy cricket in India. Fantasy cricket coming out in India. The guys are there, and it's actually the largest democracy in the world. Huge population. You can see fantasy is because continue to go everywhere worldwide.
Now, you're not doing that one, are you, Bob? Fantasy cricket?
I am not into that one just yet. My wicket isn't sticky enough, I don't believe.
Yeah, that's a wait and see.
I was actually approached not too long ago, somebody asking me about fantasy cricket. I'm like, hey, you know, I consult with all the fantasy sports. You know, cricket's one of the most popular sports in the world, so there is a viable market for that.
Bob, cricketdiehards.com.
Yeah. Coming to an interwebs near you. Yeah.
That's one of the list. Now, what's the, you mentioned about the FanDuel thing. Are there major conferences or major, there's always some sort of people get together for many reasons. Is there anything that's coming up in Vegas or any part like a convention? What's the big conventions?
I just talked to Tony Romo last week, and he's putting one together. He's in the fantasy business now. They've set it up.
Quarterback for the Cowboys.
Quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Going home, talks to his buddies. All they're talking about is fantasy football. He starts looking into it. He figures out, hey, this is a pretty cool thing. Everyone's playing it. He hears about it every time he walks off the field.
That's
people
great.
Yelling from the stands. And so he puts some money behind it. It's July 10th through 12th in Vegas. He's got a ton of players. I think 50 players signed up. All of them you know. I mean, Dez Bryant, everybody you know. Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, all the top players are going to be there. It's going to have a lot of the top industry people there. You can go see it at GoNFFC.com and get all the details. But yeah, Tony Romo has jumped into the fantasy football business.
That's terrific. Bob Harris from FootballDiehards.com, William Del Pilar, and Bob Rich from Fantasy Sports Report. Thank you so much three of you gentlemen for joining me. And Bob, I don't know why they would compare you to James Carville. He cannot hold a light to you. He's much more relaxed and laid back than you are. Thank you again, gentlemen. We're going to take a quick break, come right back, do a little threesome. Three questions, three answers, and we'll do that when we return.
Three, oh, it's the magic number. Yeah, it is.
Bad, 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 bad.
It's the magic number.
Could be bad, bad.
Somewhere in that ancient mystic trinity.
All right, already. I was looking at this picture. You know, ESPN, they don't have a complex. They have a campus, right? Out in Bristol, can they call it a campus? Somebody put a picture on. I've seen it twice on two different places. There's a goat wandering in the parking lot. Nobody really knows where the goat came from.
From Wrigley?
Well, it could be. Maybe they should bring it back. But it's just, I'm sure they were using it for some sort of deal, one deal or another. Anywho, you got three things, eh?
Yeah, there's a few of them here today.
Well, let's hear them. Let's start.
Hey, Bob, I have three questions for you. Number one, what are you expecting out of Darcy Kuemper as he makes his first start for the Wild since January 6th?
Nothing. Obviously, the Wild figure, hey, we don't need this game. Let's just see what happens. Honestly, why are you benching Devin Dubnyk? He had 4 days off last week. He's shown no sign of being tired. You know, he got the win the other night. He played well in the net. Maybe the only reason that you could make for this is that in case Dubnyk gets hurt or something happens, we have to have a guy that has at least played in the last, 5 months or whatever it is, 3 or 4 months.
Do you think it's at all a possibility that Dubnyk went to Yo and said, I could use one game off to get ready for the playoffs?
Maybe. Because he certainly he knows he's not in danger of, it's not like he's going to be Wally Pipp. He takes a night off and never gets it back. And you know what, Darcy Kuemper's sake, I hope he does have a good game, because then at least they feel good about him having a good game. Makes them feel good if something did happen. That's the only reason this makes any sense at all. I would think, why not try to win the next two games and get the best positioning you possibly can?
And we've proved it the last couple of years that you kind of need a little bit of goalie depth.
Well, you do, and that is the only reason this makes sense. Because you're not going to start him in the postseason. But if something were to happen, because this is a team that's known a little thing about getting into the postseason and having goalie issues.
But so, would you rather throw Kuemper in tonight as opposed to Saturday, because Nashville's slipping a little bit? They've lost four in a row, so maybe they just said,
honestly,
this is the best opportunity?
I'm not going to argue with Mike. Yo, he's struggled early, but he's done well down the stretch here. If it were me, I would have started Devin Dubnyk tonight and see if you know where your position's going to be for that final game with St. Louis, then put him in. If you know you're locked. If not, I would have put Dubnyk in there too if you're playing for playoff position. The other thing is, what if Kuemper gets shelled? I mean, what do you do then? You know, if you need a guy, if you're going to go to him in the postseason, you'll have no choice. But I'd almost rather not know that he's going to get shelled until he got shelled in the postseason.
Yeah, maybe he's ready.
So, and
in
we
hope. In hope.
Maybe. All right, what else you got?
Number two, what are the odds that the Minnesota Timberwolves fall to the worst record in the NBA with 4 games left to play?
I would put nothing past the Minnesota Timberwolves. They are a team on a mission, and that mission is to get as high a pick as possible.
They are only 1 game up on the New York Knicks, and looking at...
1 game up, 1 game down, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, depending on how you look at it. And the Wolves only have, I would say, one kind of winnable game, and that would be against the Lakers tomorrow night. then I'm pretty sure they're going to lose the rest of their games, the Pelicans, the Warriors, and the Thunder.
If nothing else, the Minnesota Timberwolves are a model of consistency. They consistently suck all year long.
And then if you look at the Knicks, the team they might be trying to catch as the worst team in the league, they have two winnable games against Detroit and Orlando left with their four games.
They're going to be dumping too.
Well, they are. They won more recently than we have.
You know, the one thing I do miss, though, is when teams did dump to get the, like they do in the NFL, worst team first, gets the first pick. That was fun because they were, the dumping was so blatant, you know, because you knew you were battling for that first pick.
Well, I still remember the year that the Timberwolves had Madsen, Mad Dog Madsen, throwing up threes for no reason.
Other than I was at that game.
He had the worst jump shot like I've ever seen.
It was horrible.
And they have him shooting threes. So I was thinking, all right, well, let's get that number one pick,
well,
I guess.
Well, but it doesn't work that way, though. Yes, your chances are improved, but it doesn't get... Oh, it did. You know what? That was an embarrassment to them because that was obviously obvious. What do you got for numero 3-0?
And finally, a now healthy David Cobb will work out for NFL scouts on Monday. Will he improve his draft stock?
Absolutely. I think David Cobb is going to be a very good NFL running back, and whoever gets him is going to get a good player with a great attitude. And he's just it's like Max Williams. Both of these guys have been in here visiting with us on 105 The Ticket. They're character guys. Both of them, you know, you don't have to worry about these guys embarrassing you or themselves. And it's unfortunate that he had the hamstring injury. In some ways, he will slide, but it will give a team like I don't think the Vikings could go wrong if they were to pick him, whether they have Adrian Peterson or not. Why not get a good running back? You can put him on special teams initially, but he could turn into a good player for you. He's going to go to a team and have a nice role and have a nice career.
What do you expect him to do in the 40? Because he ran a 4.81 at the combine, and he pulled up a little bit in that one, so he can obviously do it a little better.
Well, he's been running him now. He wouldn't be doing this his pro day if he didn't feel that he could actually run it. He's going to have to get the 4.5s and or lower. I mean, he's not going to be a 4.4, but he's going to have to get in the 5s. You get in the 6s or 7s as a running back, and you might as well forget it. But I do think when he was healthy, I think he's capable of you know, getting in the 4.5. Or cracking a little high 4.4s. There's nothing wrong with that for a running back.
Yeah, I'm hoping he does. I'm hoping he does well. I'm pulling for the guy.
I am too. If he can do the, what was the time you had?
It was 4.5.
If he can do a 4.5, maybe you could run for him.
All right, but can I use a time machine first
to go back
so I'm younger and then I can do it?
Well,
because I can't do it now.
See, that it's so simple for you to tell me I ran a 4.5.
Yeah, it's
well,
really
let's go
easy.
Do it. Well, it was back then. I can't do it all now. Right. Well, I need video. I need to see, like, ESPN runs the tape, and then they run the guy that ran this year against the guy that ran 10 years ago. That's what I need to see. I need to see you running and them superimposed over it. That's what I need.
Well, I'll look for the old video.
Get me
and
the
try
video.
To find some of those VHS cassette tape style things.
That's all we need.
Still exist, I hope.
Because then we'll be able to figure out what time you actually did run. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Pete Wagner, who's going to be all over the Wild. He's be all over the Kemper, Dubnyk, this Nick, that Nick, all the Nicks. We'll be right back.